We continue our story now as we hear the story of Joshua and the spies going into the promised land.
Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. And we welcome up Pastor Dan. Good morning, Pastor Dan.
Good morning, Pastor Max. Morning, everyone. Good to be together again as brothers and sisters of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and pray God's blessing on us as we spend some time in his word. My guess is all of us here are familiar with the hymn, Amazing Grace. I want to give you some background to that hymn. It was written by a man by the name of John Newton. Now, early in his life, John Newton had become involved in slave trading. And in 1748, he was aboard his own slave trade ship when a strong storm arose that threatened not only the ship, but the safety of everyone on board. And at that moment, John Newton called out to God, asking for his help and his mercy. Well, as it turns out, he survived the storm, and that was the beginning of his walk and his relationship with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But it took another 6 years before John Newton finally came to the realization that being a follower of Jesus Christ and a slave trader, the two just didn't go together. So he gave up his involvement in slave trading and then began his education to become an ordained priest in the Anglican Church. So when he finally penned the words, the beloved words to Amazing Grace, John Newton was truly speaking from the heart when he said, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Well, my guess is that Newton is not the only one who has experienced God's amazing grace in his life after having first lived a life that was totally contrary and opposed to God's will and God's ways. And my guess is that's a little bit of the story that perhaps some of us bring with us too, that there are things in our lives that we have done, and God's amazing grace has delivered us from a past of sin. Well, as we come to chapter 7 in the story that we've been going through together as a congregation that goes through, in a linear sense, God's Word, today we come to another story of God's amazing grace in the heart and the soul of a woman whom we refer to as Rahab. Rahab was a resident of the doomed city of Jericho. Now, for us to understand this story of amazing grace, it's important that we know a little bit about what happened in Jericho as the Israelites came to town. For many here who have our faith roots that go all the way back to our Sunday school days, this is a familiar Sunday school story. Many of us here, I'm sure, can remember the days when we used to sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Jericho, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, 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 down. How many here remember those days? Yes. Well, here we are. Jericho just so happened to be the very first city that as the children of Israel have now crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land, Jericho is the very first city that they come to. And it was a well-fortified city. In fact, we have a diagram here. The city was built with two ramparts, each measuring well over 45 feet high. And this arrangement, in military terms going back to those days, made this city virtually unbreachable. Well, Israel's new leader, Joshua, sent two spies into the city to scout things out, to see what they were up against. And as soon as they arrived, a woman offered them shelter in her home. Her name happened to be Rahab. And it also happened that her house happened to be built into one of the outer walls of the city. Well, the spies had no sooner arrived in Jericho that they were spotted. And some of the locals then reported this to the king, who then sent word to Rahab to produce the spies. Well, Rahab told the king that the spies, just before the gates were closed that night, the spies had already left and were on their way. Well, truth be told, Rahab had, for their protection, had hidden them up in the thatch of her roof. But for having saved the spies' lives, Rahab was then told that she would be saved when the Israelites came to town to destroy Jericho. She and her family would be saved. And she was told by them to take a red cloth to hang it in the window. And when they came to destroy Jericho, then all the residents in that home would be saved and delivered. Well, as it turns out, a few days later, the Israelites came to town. And God, as God had instructed them, they marched around the city once full-time around the city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they made 7 laps around the city. And as they arrived on their seventh time around, they not only blew ram's horns and made a lot of noise, but then they did a lot of shouting. And as we're familiar in the song, and the walls came tumbling down. The Israelites then took the city. But one family in that city was spared, the family who had the red cloth hanging in their window. God, in His grace, had spared the lives of this one family. And not a wealthy family, mind you, not an influential or even an important family. In fact, one of the family members was a prostitute by the name of Rahab. Why, of all people, did God spare Rahab and her family? Well, this is where not only is that a part of God's amazing grace, but in the telling of this story, we see some pretty amazing faith exhibited by Rahab. She herself said, as we heard in the scripture reading read to us, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. and that a great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Those first two words that Rahab spoke, I know, lead into a wonderful statement of faith. Rahab knows the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She even refers to him by his proper name, the Lord. If ever, just a kind of a trivia thing, whenever you go reading through the Old Testament, whenever you come across the word Lord in small caps, that's a reminder to you where in the original language of Hebrew, the word Yahweh appears, which is the proper name for God, the name that that God gave to Abraham, I am who I am. Well, that is how Abraham refers to this God. Not God in a generic sense, not God with a small g, but the one true God, Yahweh's. See, she also shows she's well aware of some of his promises. She says, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, part of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She further goes on to speak about how the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below, indicating her understanding that God's desire was for all people to honor him as God and Lord. My friends, what we see from this is how Rahab was a true believer of the one true God. In fact, Scripture itself honors her in Hebrews 11, what we refer to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. In verse 31, we read, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Even James, the brother of our Lord, points out that she did what she did out of faith, out of her relationship with Almighty God. James writes, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? My friends, this is God's amazing grace at work in Jericho. Here you have this woman whose lifestyle up until this point in time had been in direct conflict with God's will and God's ways. She's part of a people who are guilty of some of the grossest forms of idolatry. And yet this individual woman has faith in the one true God. And as a result, the Lord spares her life and the life of her family. Here we have the most surprising rescue of all. Not so much that Israel spared her and her family when they conquered Jericho, but that God had rescued her from her sin and her fate in eternity. And we understand that this faith came to Rahab as she heard the spreading stories about God's working in the lives of his people. She said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Just as for Rahab, also for us. God the Holy Spirit works through the power of his word, creating saving faith in our hearts and in our lives. Rahab didn't tremble out of fear of God. But Rahab held God in awe and esteem and put herself and her families and trusted herself to God's hands to deliver her. My friends, this is where you and I also need to be mindful of the fact that we too are recipients of God's amazing grace. You know, we have to be careful sometimes, especially if we have any longevity in this church and in our relationship with God, to where we become tempted to think that it's all about because of how great we are that God loves us and has saved us. I mean, we begin to think sometimes like the Pharisee who thought that he was pretty great, especially compared to that sinful woman who had interrupted that meal and had begun to anoint Jesus' feet. But without the grace of God working in our lives, you and I would be just as doomed as were the people living in Jericho. God forbid that you or I ever take for granted of God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Well, not only do we see God's amazing grace and faith, but in Rahab, we also see an amazing twist. And I love this part of the story. This past week, I had the opportunity to do a little swinging around in the limbs of my family tree. And I came across this photograph of my Aunt Clara. She's the woman there on the far right. This was taken in July of 1926. Keep in mind, this was when the airline business, flying, was still in its infancy. And my Aunt Clara took a ride in an airplane. Now, that in and of itself, I thought was pretty cool, pretty adventurous, my own little Amelia Earhart and my great aunt. But I happened to call my dad to talk to him about this, and he says, I've got the flight certificate that was given to her for having taken that flight. And so my dad and I began to compare notes, and it turns out that where she had this flight was in San Diego, California. And the pilot there in the picture, hovering over the cockpit there, the pilot who flew her by the next year, April of 1927, that man was one of the individuals involved in the building of the Spirit of St. Louis for Charles Lindbergh. It was built at the same airport where my great aunt took her first airplane ride. Is that cool or what? Now, I understand it's my family tree, you know, you may not, you know, think so much. But I want to do a little swinging around in the limbs of Rahab's family tree, if you would join me. But before we do, remember, sometimes when you go digging through your family tree, sometimes you find things about your family you really didn't want to know, you know? Because sometimes we have family members who have a reputation, a label. Rahab was such an individual. She had a reputation, didn't she? A label. Scripture. Every time you come across the name Rahab, at least in the New Testament, you find Rahab the prostitute. If Rahab would go back home for her high school reunion, her name tag would say Rahab the prostitute. What a way to go through the rest of life, all right? But you take a look in Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew begins to go through someone else's family tree. And there you find the names of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, all the way down to a man by the name of Salmon who married Rahab. Say it with me, Rahab the prostitute. And guess who Rahab is the great-great-great-great-grandmother of? Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that something or what? You see, my friends, we need to understand that Rahab's struggle is not far from our own. You know, you and I, we've got labels too, of things that we've done in our life, things that we were known for back in our childhood days, our high school days, our college days, and maybe even just this past week, if our family were to tell stories about us. The kind of labels that if we were to go back to some kind of reunion, we'd have our name and our labels there underneath describing what we've done. Some things we've done, we hope nobody in this room ever finds out about because we're not proud of them. And they've caused us guilt and shame in our lives. And odds are there wouldn't be just one label on our name tag, but multiple labels. In fact, probably multiple name tags. The point that I want each and every one of us to take home from this today is this. God knows. God knows our temptations. He knows our sin. And he knows our deserved labels. And he knows exactly what we deserve for them better than anyone else. He knows what we continue to struggle with and wrestle with, especially some of the guilt and the shame from some of those past experiences in life and how at times we even try to distance ourselves from him because of them. And yet God in his grace just get your arms around this. God in his grace knew Rahab and her label and her sin, and he saved her. And he not only saved her from death there in Jericho, but get this, he made her a part of the family tree of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Father was not ashamed to send his Son into the world through a family line with a family tree that was dirty and tarnished by a woman by the name of Rahab the prostitute. Matter of fact, that is exactly why Jesus was born into this world to begin with. I especially treasure the verse where Paul writes to Timothy, God our Savior wants all men, all women to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus was born into this world for those who bear the label of sinner. And because Jesus offered his life and suffered and died, he too was labeled King of the Jews, traitor of Rome, crucified criminal. But God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess on heaven above and on earth below and beneath, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Rahab, from prostitute to great-great-great-great-grandmother of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The woman who anointed Jesus' feet, from sinner to forgiven. Thomas, from doubter to believer. You and me, from sinner to saint. That is God's amazing grace there in Jericho, as well as here on the north side of Indianapolis. Because truth be told, Rahab's story is also our story. Amen. Amen.